Turn to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter 3. You know, we've been preaching through the book of Philippians, and we're in chapter 3 this morning, and we're going to cover verses 1 through 9. And before I read this, you know, there's a lot of people that I've met through the years as a pastor that fear dying. They're afraid to die. And they fear it because of the uncertainty that comes with it. Many people have enough sense to know that there's a God. And they also have enough sense to know that when they die, they're going to ultimately have to face Him. And so the thoughts go through people's mind, when I die and I stand before God, will God accept me? Is God going to welcome me into heaven? Or is it possible that God's going to reject me? Is God going to cast me off because of my sins and my failures and my shortcomings in life? You know, nobody knows you like you. Right? Nobody knows your heart like you. Okay? And that's a little troubling. Okay? Because nobody knows us like us. And deep down, we know that, of course, one other person does know us like us. There's one person that knows us even better than us. And who is that?
God.
Well, that combination of us knowing our heart, knowing our sins, there's probably skeletons in all of our closets that, man, we wouldn't want anybody to know. But deep down in our heart, we know God knows. And so it's kind of a troubling thought to know that, man, I know all that I've done, and God knows all that I've done, and one day I've got to stand before Him. And I think a lot of people feel like that when they stand before God, out comes the list. You know, out comes the list, and it's going to, you know, and God is going to reject me. Some people think, well, you know, they wonder, well, is God going to reject me? Is He going to send me to hell? Am I going to go, you know, where Satan and his angel and Satan's angels are going to go? And there's a lot of people I've found that really have a longing to have that peace of knowing that God fully accepts them and that they're in a right relationship with God. And I've got good news. There is a way that you can know that you are accepted by God. And the Bible says that we can know that we have eternal life. But Satan, man, he's got such a multitude of lies that he propagates to people out there. And the man who wrote this book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul, he was a man that was feverishly trying to gain acceptance before God, but he could not find that acceptance. And then one day, he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and his life was radically and forever changed. And here in this text, Philippians 3, 1 through 9, Paul is going to reveal to us the struggle that he went through. And he's going to reveal to us how he found acceptance before God. And he's also going to reveal to us how you and I can find acceptance before God Almighty. And so it's kind of interesting, though, the way Paul goes about it, because he kind of lays out the ways that he tried to gain acceptance and it didn't work. And so he kind of lays out the stuff that didn't work, and then he gives you the answer at the end of the text on what does work and how we do find that peace and that acceptance before God. Number one in your handout, Paul brings out this, okay, is that acceptance before God cannot come through fleshly accomplishment. Acceptance before God cannot come through fleshly accomplishment. Paul said in verse 3, look at it with me, verse 3, "For we are the circumcision." Paul was a Jew, and he said, "We worship God in the Spirit," but notice this, he said, "We rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh." But now this wasn't always the case. Look at verse 4. He says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." Paul shares with us, he says, look, if there's anybody that had a reason to trust in their fleshly accomplishments, I was the guy. In verse 5, he starts listing some of this stuff. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, of Pharisee. So we find that Paul was born into a very religious home. He had a great religious heritage. He was born into a Hebrew family. He'd been through the religious rituals that babies go through there. He was a member of the nation of Israel, God's covenant people, who had been given the promises of God and the Word of God, special privileges. And he was part of that chosen nation. Not only this, we learn as we cross-reference Scripture with Scripture, Paul was actually brought up in the city of Jerusalem, God's holy city, where he received teaching and training from a famous member of the Jewish Sanhedrin by the name of Gamaliel. He, the Bible says, was trained and taught at the feet of Gamaliel. And there he received, you know, the utmost religious training and instruction from that man. But yet, here's the thing. Paul said, I got all these fleshly accomplishments in my life. But yet there came a time in Paul's life when Paul said, and in your handout there, Paul said that all of his fleshly accomplishments were loss. Loss. Look with me at verse number 7. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, in other words, the stuff that I was trusting in, that I thought was going to give me brownie points before God, the things that were gained to me, those I counted what? Loss. For Christ. In other words, he's saying, all these fleshly accomplishments gained me nothing. They made me no better in the eyes of God. They could not give me peace. They could not give me acceptance before God. In your handout it says, did you know that our fleshly accomplishments on this earth do not impress God? Hey, did you know that? Did you know that our fleshly accomplishments don't impress God? Did you know that? Three of you knew that, all right. In other words, what I'm saying is, if somebody on this earth, positionally, okay, I mean, they have really achieved some things positionally, and they have really moved up the ladder in whatever field they're in, does that impress God? What about monetarily? What if somebody has really accomplished a lot monetarily and they've been able to really accumulate a lot of wealth? Does that impress God? No. What about somebody who really has moved up the ladder religiously? Is that going to bring acceptance before God? Well, it's interesting. Revelation 20, verse 12 in your handout is an interesting verse. John, who wrote the book of Revelation, says, and I saw the dead, and then what's the next phrase, church?
Small and great.
Small and great. And what were they doing? Standing before God. So, here's the deal. It's not just the drunken bum out here in the gutter that's going to stand before God. It's not just the prostitute or the pornographer or you know, the homeless guy out here. No, the small and the great, the movie star, the athlete that's this high-profile athlete and everybody just falls at their feet, the political leader that has achieved power. The Bible says the small and the great are one day going to have to stand before God Almighty and give an account for their life. The rich and the famous will not get a free pass into heaven because of their position on earth. Let me say that again. The rich and the famous are not going to get a free pass into heaven because of who they were on the earth. God, you know, it doesn't impress God. Okay? Somebody may be high up and they may have people fall at their feet and they may have people that just, you know, give them whatever they want and do whatever they want. And man, I mean, they got power and they got wealth and they're successful and everybody oohs and ahs and everybody wants their autograph and everybody just thinks they're so wonderful. But yet it doesn't impress God. They're going to have to stand before God just like this guy out here that doesn't even have a roof over his head. They're going to stand before God. Fleshly accomplishments can't bring acceptance before God. Number two, acceptance cannot come through religious effort. Religious effort. In verse 5, look at this with me. We find out something about Paul, the guy who wrote this book. He said, I was circumcised the eighth day, which was a religious ritual of his religion, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, what was Paul? Pharisee. Hey, this guy Paul, he had excelled so much in the religion of Judaism that he had worked his way up to the position of a Pharisee, which was a very strict religious sect of the Jews, very well respected. Paul was very zealous of his religion. Look in your handout at Galatians 1:14. Paul said that he profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. In other words, Paul said, I was so zealous of my religion that you know what it caused him to do? Look at verse 6 in our text. He says, concerning zeal. Now, how did Paul express his zeal for his religion? Persecuting the church. Paul actually actively was out there. He wasn't just, you know how some people are like religious in name? You know, and they're like, oh yeah, I'm a whatever. You know, I'm a Baptist or I'm a Presbyterian or I'm a Catholic. And you know, you kind of corner them a little bit and they don't practice what they say their religion is. You know, they don't really practice it. They just are in name. Well, that wasn't Paul. Okay, Paul was out there actively promoting his religious beliefs. Paul was out there bringing persecution and to those who opposed his religious beliefs. Paul was zealous of his religion. But yet, here's what I want you to see. Look at verse 7. But what things were gained to me? He said, those I counted what? Loss. I want you to write that in your handout where it says, the day came when Paul realized that all of his religious efforts were loss. He said, you know what? I found out they count as absolutely nothing when it comes to finding acceptance before God. And then Paul uses a very descriptive word to describe the value of his religious accomplishments. Look down at verse number 8. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Now look at this. And do count them, all the religious effort and achievement, I do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Now that word dung means that which is thrown to the dogs. It means garbage. It means trash. It means something that is absolutely worthless. Something that is of no value whatsoever. In other words, what Paul is saying is, he's saying all of my religious efforts, all the things that I have accomplished, all the things that I have done in my religion. You guys are wondering where I went, right? You know what that is? Just got it back there. He said, all my religious efforts are trash, garbage, loss, not gain. He said, they ain't gained me anything. The day came when the light turned on and Paul said, they're all loss. They're dung, that which is thrown to the dog. Paul said, this religious accomplishment, this one, this one, this one, what do you throw in the garbage can? Stuff that's useless, worthless, has no value to you whatsoever. I mean, I look in that trash can and guess what? There is no gold rings in there. No diamond necklaces. Trash. Paul said, you could take all my religious accomplishments and they were but dung. Allow me to dispel one of Satan's greatest myths that he passes off as truth. Satan has convinced many people that religious people go to heaven. And Satan says, if you're religious enough, and you do enough religious things, God will surely welcome you into heaven. Paul said, I profited in the Jews' religion above any of my equals. I was zealous towards God, but yet Paul said he was the chief of sinners. Paul said, I was the head, I was the chief, I was the first in a line of sinners that needed salvation. It's sinners that need salvation. Paul said, I was the chief of sinners. All my religious effort, but yet Paul said he was the chief of sinners. Now what does that tell you? In your handout, it tells you that religious effort cannot save you. It cannot cleanse you of your sin, no matter how hard you try. It cannot bring acceptance before God. And there are so many people, and it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. There are so many people out there that are on the treadmill of religious performance, and they're out there searching for fulfillment in religious acts and religious rituals, religious things and religious deeds, but yet they are still empty. They lack that total peace. They don't know that they have acceptance before God. Why? Religious effort cannot bring acceptance before God. That's what this text is teaching. We're preaching the Bible this morning. And Paul said, my fleshly accomplishments were loss. My religious efforts were loss. And then number three, Paul said acceptance cannot come through law keeping. Acceptance cannot come through law keeping. Now, God's law was given to the nation of Israel, including the Ten Commandments. Now, Paul had diligently tried to follow every law of God. And outwardly, he appeared to do so. Look at verse number 6, please. He said, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. In other words, outwardly, when other people looked at Paul, he looked like a devout lawkeeper. I mean, he kept those laws. He outwardly kept those Ten Commandments. Now, we know he was a sinner, just like all the rest of us. We know he wasn't perfect. We know he made mistakes. But yet, outwardly, he was blameless. Outwardly, he looked like the perfect lawkeeper. And Paul thought, if I just try hard enough, if I'm just good enough, God will accept me. And in your handout, it says, one day Paul realized the light turned on. And the light turned on, and Paul realized that all of his law-keeping was loss in the eyes of God. And there are so many people like me. I mean, I was this way. Many people think, if I try hard enough, God will surely accept me. Man, I thought that. I was raised up in that type of idea that if I'm good enough, God will accept me. If my good works outweigh my bad works, God will surely accept me. But yet, it says in your handout, the Bible is so clear that law keeping won't bring acceptance. It won't bring justification before God. Can I show you a verse that really clears it up, makes it as clear as can be? I mean, this is as clear as a bell. Look at the screen, please, Galatians 2:16, where the Bible says, knowing that a man is not justified, in other words, I'm not made acceptable to God, I'm not justified by the what? Works of the law. But notice how I am justified, by the faith of Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall, what's the next two words? No flesh be justified. How many people are going to stand before God and get into heaven because they were good enough? How many? Zero. How many people are going to stand before God and say, God, buddy, I kept that law. I was a good law keeper. And God's going to say, yep, you were a perfect law keeper. Come into heaven. How many people? None. Because man at his best, at the end of the day, he still falls short of God's holy law and God's standard of righteousness. In your handout, look at it with me, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. I'm not saved by myself. It's the gift of God. Notice the next three words. Say it with me. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at Romans 3:20 in your handout. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall, and there's those two words again, by the deeds of the law, the actions of the law. By going out there and trying to do the law and trying to do good works, by the deeds of the law there shall, what? No flesh. Say it again. No flesh. Be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Hey, what does Romans 3:23 say? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, even if I do my very best, at the end of the day, I still come up what? Short. I'm short. I'm on the short end of the stick. I mean, you can try hard and try hard and try hard and try hard. Trying harder isn't the way to find acceptance before God. That's what this text teaches us. Religious effort isn't the answer. Fleshly accomplishments aren't the answer. Law keeping isn't the answer. Paul said all that was loss. Verse 7, look at it again. Look at it. Verse 7. He says, but what things were gained to me. In other words, I thought that stuff was going to really make brownie points with God. Those I counted loss for Christ. So how do I find acceptance? Look in your handout, please. It says acceptance can come only one way. I can only be accepted before God one way. You may know the answer. Through Christ alone. What was that song we sung this morning? In Christ alone. You see, in verses 7, 8, and 9 of this text, we no longer see a man boasting about his religious achievements. But it says in your handout, we see a man at total peace. Paul's entire focus had changed. What was the difference? Look at the last two words of verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss. And what's the next two words? For Christ. In other words, Paul said, when I took all my fleshly accomplishments, all my religious achievements, all my religious effort, I took all my law keeping, he said, I looked at all that. He said, I counted that all loss in order to take Christ. And to believe on Him and trust Him. In other words, there came a day when Paul abandoned his confidence in his own religious efforts, in his own fleshly achievements, and in his own law keeping. And a very important statement in your handout. He realized that Christ made a full and complete sacrifice for sin on the cross, and that He rose from the dead and was alive. Paul received some special revelation, some special insight from God, where God revealed to Paul that, hey, Paul, my Son, Jesus Christ, has made a full and complete atonement for your sin on the cross of Calvary. It is full, it is complete, it is perfect, and God says, that's enough. And when I compare Christ's perfect, absolute righteousness with my fleshly religious achievements, it makes them look like dung. It makes them look like garbage. It makes it look like refuse and trash. But praise God, I can still be counted righteous in the eyes of God. I can still gain total acceptance before God, even though I've come up short of God's righteousness. You say, how? Well, you know what, praise the Lord? I've come up short of God's righteousness, but Christ didn't. Christ didn't. You say, okay, all right, so Christ didn't, but how does that help me? Here's how it helps you. Because God's making an offer to you. You say, well, what offer is God making to me? Now, you listen closely, because here's the offer God's making to you and I. Here it is. If we will simply admit that we've come up short, if we'll admit that we've sinned, that we need a Savior, if we will admit that we need Christ's righteousness to be acceptable before God, the moment that we turn in faith to Jesus Christ, the moment we put our total faith and trust in Christ to save us, you know what God said He would do? God said, I'll take the righteousness of my Son and I'll put that on your account. So that when I open up the ledger books and I look at the name Dan Proctor, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And God said, I'll take all your sinful acts and thoughts and deeds, And I'll put those on my son on the cross where he will make a full and complete payment for those things. Hey, does that sound like a pretty good swap to you? And that's what God's offering you today if you will turn in faith to Jesus Christ. And that's what he means. Look at verse 9. When Paul says, and be found where? In Christ. Paul says, I'm now found in Him. No longer am I found in my self-righteousness and my religious achievement. He said, now I'm found in Him. Look at this. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. But he said, I've got the righteousness, which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness, now look at this. How do I get this righteousness of Jesus Christ? The righteousness which is of God, what's the last two words? By faith. Can you look in your handout? And let's look at a couple cross-references. Romans 3:28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified, what's the next two words? By faith without the deeds of the law. Look at the next one, Romans 5:1. Therefore being justified, say it with me, church, by faith, we have what? Peace with God. Hey, does that sound pretty good to you, the phrase peace with God? To know that God is at peace with me and I'm at peace with Him. That's a pretty good deal, huh? How do I get it? I'm justified by faith and we have peace with God. Say it with me. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I share something with you this morning? There is nothing that you have done that God has not already provided forgiveness for in Christ. I don't care what skeleton is in your closet. I don't care what you've done when nobody else is around. I don't care what you've done that nobody else knows about. Here's what I know. I don't know all that you've done, and I'm not interested in knowing. And you don't know all that I've done, and I'm not interested in you knowing that. You say, well, I am. Well, I'm not. You know what? I don't know what you've done, but I do know this. God has already provided the forgiveness for you in His Son, Jesus Christ. And what He did on the cross 2,000 years ago on Calvary. Now, religion doesn't want you to know that. Religion wants to keep you on the treadmill, man, performing. Religion says, hey, if you'll join our church, if you'll do the things we tell you to do, if you'll do the rituals, if you'll give money to us, if you'll keep the rules, maybe God will accept you. And you know what? Religion says, do! And it keeps you on that treadmill. Do, 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 do! But God's Word revealed through the Apostle Paul the mystery of His grace, the mystery that was revealed to Paul. Paul said, my gospel, my good news that God showed me is no longer do I have to be on that treadmill of doing, 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 doing. Religion says do. Paul's gospel says done. Done. It's all done. It's all been taken care of. Your sin has all been taken care of and the provision has been made for your full forgiveness through the finished and the completed work of Jesus Christ. And you know what? If you'll turn in faith to Him, Christ will set you free to serve Him, not religion. He'll set you free to serve Him and not a religious system. He'll set you free to serve the Lord. And I invite you to let the Lord save you and change you. How? What's the last two words of verse 9? I tell you, I want to drill this in because it's so clear in this text. It is so clear in the Bible. What is the very last two words of our text in verse 9? What is it?
By faith.
By faith. It is a work of the heart. Salvation comes when your heart fully rests in Jesus Christ to save you. In your handout it says, do you know that you have total acceptance before God Almighty? God has made provision for you through His Son. He's made provision for you through His Son to have total acceptance before Him. Will you trust Christ today? Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed. Will you trust Christ today? with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed. I want you to really think about what you've heard this morning. And I want you to ask yourself this question. If I died today, do I know for sure that I would go to heaven? If I died today, do I know that I stand accepted before God? How many of you would say, Pastor Dan, that question is settled. I know that I stand acceptable before God because of my faith that I have placed in Jesus Christ. I don't fear dying, because if I were to die today, Pastor Dan, I know that I stand acceptable to God, and I have peace about that. Would you lift your hand up as a testimony? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking. You can put them right back down. Is there anybody now this morning? Let me ask it the other way. You're like I used to be. And man, I was there, and I know exactly how you feel if this is where you're at. There was a time in my life when I didn't have a clue if I stood acceptable before God. I remember as a young child, I remember thinking about the prospect of dying and facing God. And I remember weeping and crying because I did not know if I would be acceptable to Him. And I wonder if some of you are like I was. You're just not sure if you die today, you go to heaven. You're not sure that you stand acceptable before God. Oh, you want to know, but you're not for sure. You'd say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not going to call your name. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to do anything like that. That's the last thing on my mind. But you'd just say, Pastor, pray for me. In just a moment, I'm going to say a prayer. And if you want to be included in that prayer, you'd say, pray for me that I can come to that place of knowing that I am accepted before God. Pray for me, because I'm not sure. Would you lift your hand up right now? Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Just lift it up. Thank you. You can put it right back down. Thank you. You can put it right back down. Anyone else? Pray for me. Pastor, I'm not sure that if I die today, I go to heaven. I'm not sure. Would you lift your hand up, put it right back down, and you just say, pray for me. Thank you. I see your hand. You can put it down. Anyone else? I'm not sure. I'm just not sure. Anyone else? Anybody else? Say, pray for me. Thank you. You can put it back down. Anybody else? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anyone else? I'm just not sure if I die today, I go to heaven. Maybe you've been trusting in religious achievement. Maybe you've been trusting, thinking, well, I'm good. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You won't look God in the face one day and say, I'm good. When you stand in the presence of God, you'll be humbled by His absolute perfection, righteousness, and holiness. You will not stand arrogantly and look God in the face and say, well, I was good, so I think you ought to let me into heaven. That won't happen. We've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. And God has provided His Son to pay for your sin. Will you trust Him today? Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. I pray now, God, that this text will just come alive, we'll understand it. Lord, we'll bask in the blessing of it, knowing that we can be acceptable in Christ. We can be found in Him, not having our own righteousness, but the righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ, which is by faith. Thank You that You're offering us righteousness before You by faith. We love You and praise You and thank You. And I pray for those, Father, that lifted their hand. Thank You for their honesty. And I pray today they'll get it settled and know that today is the day that they turned in faith to Jesus Christ and trusted Him and Him alone to save them. We love You and pray this in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, in just a moment...